friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with a two-time African Footballer of the Year from Egypt. Mohamed Salah has reached a scoring milestone for Liverpool in the Premier League, as we hear now from Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah scored his 20th Premier League goal of the season to help Liverpool secure a 1-1 draw against Newcastle at Anfield.
In by Sadio Mane. Kicked away by Fernandes, hit by Salah and rifled into the roof. 20 Premier League goals for Mo Salah and a strike at Anfield in the sunshine.
The 28-year-old became the first Reds player to score 20 goals or more in three different Premier League seasons. English midfielder Joe Willock later scored an equaliser in the 95th minute to deny Liverpool a much-needed win in their pursuit of Champions League football. The draw leaves them 4 points adrift of fourth-place Chelsea, whose top four hopes received a major boost after cruising past West Ham to secure a 1-0 win, thanks to Timo Werner's first goal since February. An own goal from German shortstopper Bernd Leno in the 76th minute ensured Arsenal slipped to a disappointing 1-0 defeat against Everton at the Emirates Stadium. The win marked the Toffees' first league win at Arsenal since 1996. Here's Arsenal's boss Mikel Arteta's take on the match.
We lost the game because at the end, when we had to define the game in the crucial moments, when we had the openings or the chances, no clear chances that we wanted, we didn't do that. Then we conceded an own goal. And obviously when we earned the right to score with the decisions that was taken away. We knew that was going to be the crucial moment of our season. To explain how we lost 5 points with the way that we had performed in those two games and what the opponent had earned is pretty incredible to describe. I gave you a few arguments, but we need to find more.
There was Arsenal's manager Mikel Arteta after their shock defeat at home to Everton. The Toffees are now 8th in the Premier League table, 3 points off the Champions League places, while Arsenal lie 10th in the table, 12 points off the top four. A second-half header from French footballer Aymeric Laporte ensured Manchester City secured their fourth League Cup title after seeing off Tottenham Hotspur 1-0 at Wembley. The Citizens have now drawn level with Liverpool's record of 8 League Cup titles. City boss Pep Guardiola praised his team after their remarkable achievement.
Yeah, more than well-deserved. So since the second one, we were out to play and play and play an incredible level with incredible quality. I'm so delighted, for the guys. And I have a thought for the guys who didn't play. The first thought as always is for them because they deserve to play and unfortunately they could not play. For Fernandinho and Sergio, that they are the players with more cups in this competition. And yeah, 4 times in a row. It was a nice competition because Arsenal united away and Spurs to win it. So it's more than well deserved, and especially the way they perform. So
that's Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola after claiming the 25th major trophy of his managerial career. The League Cup is the first of three possible trophies Guardiola's side can still win this season, since the Citizens are still competing in the semi-finals of the Champions League, with the English Premier League all but wrapped up. Manchester United also played out to a 0-0 draw against Leeds United and are now 12 points ahead of West Ham in fifth place. The Red Devils will now turn their attention to the Europa League semi-final tie against Roma. Leicester City welcomes Crystal Palace to the King Power Stadium on Monday as they look to further cement their spot in the Premier League top four. The Foxes, currently third in the table, will be relying on Jamie Vardy and Nigerian international Kelechi Iheanacho, who has scored 13 goals in his 13 appearances to secure the 3 points. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Moving on to the French League, French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored twice as Paris Saint-Germain returned to winning ways with a 3-1 victory over Metz on Saturday. Argentine forward Mauro Icardi's penalty sealed the win to ensure the Parisians moved a point behind league leaders Lille, who earned a 3-2 win against Olympique Lyon, thanks to Turkish footballer Burak Yılmaz, who scored a brace and provided an assist, with Jonathan David also registering his name on the score sheet. Algerian striker Islam Slimani scored for Lyon, who secured their second courtesy of Jose Fonte's own goal. Lyon will next face Monaco and a 1-0 win against Angers, courtesy of French footballer of Tunisian descent Wissam Ben Yedder's late winner. Lens reclaimed the fifth and final European place from Marseille with a 2-1 victory over Nîmes, while ninth place Nice cruised to a 3-1 win against Montpellier in Sunday's early kickoff. Moving on to the Spanish La Liga, Antoine Griezmann scored a brace as Barcelona came from behind to beat Villarreal 2-1 in La Liga. Villarreal scored its consolation goal through Nigerian international Samuel Chukwueze. Barca now third place in the table and will be looking to take over the lead as they face 8th place Granada at home on Thursday. Not even the return of Luis Suarez and Joao Felix could help Atletico Madrid as they stumbled to a 2-1 loss to Athletic Bilbao. The loss means Sevilla right back in the mix as well to win the title after securing a 2-1 win over Granada, a result that puts them 1 point behind second place Real Madrid, who also remain in contention of winning the league even after being held to a 0-0 draw against Real Betis on Saturday. The Los Blancos will, however, be bolstered by the return of Belgium playmaker Eden Hazard, who looks set to face his former team Chelsea in Tuesday's Champions League semi-final first leg match. And in Italy, Italian fullback Matteo Darmian scored to help Inter Milan secure a 1-0 win over Hellas Verona and move a step closer to winning their first Serie A title since 2010. The Nerazzurri are now 13 points clear of their arch-rivals AC Milan, who face Lazio on Monday, with 5 games remaining. Alvaro Morata also finished in style to help defending champions Juventus secure a 1-1 draw against Fiorentina. Juve now lie 4th in the table, 2 points behind 2nd place Atalanta, who thrashed 10-man Bologna 5-0. And Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. We're now 88 days away to the opening ceremony at the Tokyo Olympics in Japan. But our VOA Olympic fans will remember there will be Olympic action in men's and women's football before the opening ceremony. The 12-team women's tournament kicks off July 21st, 2 days before the opening ceremony, and the 16-team men's tournament begins July 22nd. The Copper Queens of Zambia are representing Africa in the Olympic women's football competition. The Zambian ladies, who are making their Olympic debut, will play their first match against the Netherlands on July 21st. Meanwhile, Egypt, Ivory Coast, and South Africa are the African teams in the men's Olympic football tournament. And our VOA Olympic fans will also remember that 2 African teams have won the gold medal in Olympic men's football, Nigeria in 1996 and Cameroon in 2000. Meanwhile, Team Nigeria's only Olympic medal at the past two Olympics was a bronze in men's football at the 2016 Rio Games in Brazil. As we look forward to the Tokyo Olympics, can Nigerian athletes get on the medals podium in other sports? To try and answer that question, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted 1996 Olympic silver and bronze medalist Falilat Ogunkoya.
I think the athletes that want to win a medal in the Olympics, they are very, very training. The only thing they need from the Nigeria team is for them to get preparation, to get money for them to be able to compete, to do whatever they need the money for so they can be able to win a medal for Nigeria. It's less for them to train very, very hard. The Olympic is not an easy job. And for you to win a medal is a lot of training. And anybody can come in an Olympic year. So, and I hope that all the athletes that is going to represent Nigeria, some in the US, some in Europe, they are training very, very hard.
What's your take on Team Nigeria's medal chances at the Tokyo Olympic Games?
To win medal in the Olympics is not it's not easy. So I think Nigeria can win a medal if they really work very hard, and we have people that can do, you know, sport medicine to analyze the athlete who's going to get medal, who's not going to get medal. You know, it'd be accepted to the Ministry of Sports, to the Nigerian, to the minister, to the president, that to have some people that they can analyze the athlete, which is sport medicine. You know, they are very good at it. They will let us know how many medals we are going to win. If we are going to beat this one, we are going to beat that one. You know, in the past, everybody would just go to the Olympics and just win a medal. But now the technology, everything is changed, and we have people that can help us with that in Nigeria. You know, they just need to put them in the Team Nigeria and put everybody mind at rest that team, this one can win a medal with what I've done. This one can win a medal with what I've done. And with that, it's going to really help Nigeria in a long, 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 long time.
Do you see the possibility of an African athlete erasing the record you set 25 years ago at the Atlanta Olympic Games?
25 years of 400 meters, 49.10. Record is meant to be broken. And I wish that Nigeria will come and break the record. But this is coming from Africa. You know, it's very good for the Africa that we are improving what we are doing, because if the record has been there for more than 25 years and it's still there, and we need to work more very, very hard. I know that a lot of people can run 49, they can run 48 in Africa, but with the good coaches, we need a good coaches and a real woman. When I say a real woman will be able to break the record.
That's Nigeria's 1996 Olympic silver and bronze medalist Falilat Ogunkoya. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abeokuta, Nigeria.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogunkoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ran the best quarter mile in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thanks.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Douglas Mpuga joins us now with a package of African sports news. And Douglas says his starting line is Kenya Athletics.
World 800 meters medalist Ferguson Rotich is among the 31 athletes named on the Kenyan team for the World Athletics Relays Celestia 21 on May 1st and May 2nd. Squads have been announced for the men's and women's 4x200 meters and 4x400 meters, mixed 4x400 meters, 2x2x400 meters, and shuttle hurdles relay. Joining Rotich in the mixed 2x2 400 meters are Commonwealth 800 meters champion Wycliffe Kinyamoro, Naomi Korir, and Emily Cherotich. The Kenyan team for the event also features national 400 meters record holder Helen Sombuya and Aaron Koech, who formed part of the mixed 4x400 meters bronze medal winning team at the last edition of the event in Yokohama in 2019. In football, Thursday marked the official arrival of President Patrice Motsepe at the Confederation of African Football headquarters, accompanied by CAF General Secretary Keron Mosengo Omba and FIFA Council member Hani Abu Rida. Motsepe met CAF top management president in Cairo. He reportedly expressed his optimism about his mission success, convinced that the current team will make Africa proud. And it's March Day 6 in the Confederation of African Football Confederation Cup group stage, the last before the quarterfinalists are known. The matches to be played on April 28th are as follows. Enyimba of Nigeria host Orlando Pirates of South Africa in Aba. ES Setif of Algeria host Ahele Benghazi of Libya in Setif. In Group B, Bekane of Morocco host Cotton Sport of Cameroon. Kabayel of Algeria play Napsa Stars of Zambia. In Group C, Etoile du Sahel of Tunisia play Salitas of Burkina Faso, while CS Sfaxien host Jaraf of Senegal. In Group D, Raja of Morocco hosting Kan of Zambia, and Pyramids of Egypt play Namungo of Tanzania in Cairo. Elsewhere, Cricket South Africa has been stripped of its right to administer the sport in the country by Sports Minister Nathi Mfetwa. This move puts the participation of both the men's and women's teams in international matches at risk. Cricket South Africa has been involved in a number of ongoing wrangles about its leadership and structure for many months, resisting efforts to install more independent directors seen as critical to fighting corruption. Should Cricket South Africa be de-recognized, it could mean that South Africa's cricketers would not be allowed to play in international matches. Like most sporting governing bodies, the International Cricket Body has strict rules that prohibit government intervention in the running of national sports associations. South Africa's men's team are scheduled to play next Ireland in July, while the women's team do not have any firm fixtures until March 2022 at the Women's World Cup.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Basketball Africa League president Amadou Gallo Fall has been talking with the Voice of America about the tip-off of the BAL's inaugural season next month in Kigali, Rwanda. The 12-team tournament will be held from May 16th to May 30th at the Kigali Arena. Amadou begins by talking about the Basketball Africa League's significance.
The Basketball Africa League is another milestone in the NBA's effort to grow the game across the continent. As you know, we've opened the NBA Africa office in Johannesburg in 2010, right before the FIFA World Cup. But before that, we had launched Basketball Without Borders in 2003, where we brought 100 young boys ages 18 and under, and later on we added a program for the women also. That program is a partnership between the NBA and FIBA. It is our global community outreach and basketball development program. And I think we are in the 17th, we would have conducted, I think, the 18th edition last year if COVID had permitted, of the Basketball Without Borders program. But that program that we ran every year from 2003 really gave us an impetus to think about having a physical presence on the ground, because we saw a tremendous opportunity to grow the sport. You know, the talent was certainly here and was always here. That talent had found its way in the NBA. As we know, great legends like Hakeem Olajuwon and Dikembe Mutombo, Manu Ball, and a host of other, you know, younger players who made their mark in the NBA. Basketball Without Borders was the first opportunity to provide young players an opportunity to showcase their talent and be coached by NBA team personnel and coaches. When we opened the office, we thought that we wanted to focus on really making the game more accessible to young boys and girls who have a passion and wants to play the game. And the decade that was from 2010 to 20, you know, really to today, all the developments and all the activities we've conducted have led now to the launch of this professional basketball league that is Pan-African, that is a collaboration between FIBA and the NBA. So I think it's a natural evolution after really priming the region and shining a spotlight on the game, growing it from grassroots level. Now is the time to launch a professional league that will showcase African talent and that would also attract global talent.
In his interview with the Voice of America, Basketball Africa League president Amadou Gallo Fall talked about the BAL's composition and how the teams qualified.
The Basketball Africa League is a Champions League model. It is building on the tradition of club basketball championships that FIBA, our partner, has been running. You have national leagues in all the countries across the continent. We are taking the champions of national leagues into the Basketball Africa League. And the way we structured this, there were six out of the 12 teams that come from countries that we pre-selected based on really their history with basketball tradition, the popularity of the sport, the level of infrastructure, and also where they fit if you look at the rankings, you know, in terms of basketball historically across the continent. The six countries that I talked about were Nigeria, which is going to represent Africa in the next Olympics. In the past few years, they've been, you know, a perennial presence in terms of really not only the talent they continue to produce into the NBA, but just their performances in international competition. Teams from Nigeria, Angola, Senegal, Egypt, Tunisia, and Morocco will qualify automatically. And those represent in some form of order, you know, the top six, you know, teams, and they are definitely in the top 10 on the continent. And the other six teams are coming from countries that FIBA, our partner, organized qualifiers. Teams from 30 countries participated to deliver the other six. They came from Cameroon, Madagascar, Rwanda, Algeria, Mali, and Mozambique.
Amadou said he believes basketball will continue to attract new fans in Africa.
Everything we've seen over the past few decades since we've been in Africa, since the NBA, you know, have been coming and working at grassroots level to develop the sport, we have no doubt, and everybody recognizes the, you know, tremendous amount of talent that the continent has. You know, they, players from Africa have been having major impact, you know, not only in the NBA, but also at, in the NCAA. And today, I mean, these days we are the March Madness, the annual college basketball tournament taking place with, you know, many African players in multiple elite college rosters. So, you know, the talent has always been there. The interest in the sport has is there, you know. I think through all the grassroots events that we conduct, the junior NBA programs we've launched in multiple countries, you know, we see that there is interest among the youth. I think having a professional league right here on the continent that is going to play in prime time, that is going to be broadcasted to viewers across the African continent and around the world is going to add another, layer in terms of spotlighting the popularity of basketball on the continent. We've seen the fan base grow. NBA games are in multiple platforms across the continent, right here in South Africa through ESPN, our partner, and ETV. And you go in the Francophone countries, it's broadcasted on Canal Plus. And we recently, the NBA Africa has recently signed a partnership in Kenya. That is, the games are broadcasted on free to air, and we're getting, tremendous feedback from that. So the fan base has steadily grown. So we are, really excited about the opportunity to continue to even grow that more.
That's Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo Fall. And Amadou was speaking with the Voice of America in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Yo, 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 sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. In National Basketball Association action Sunday, the Atlanta Hawks, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Charlotte Hornets all posted victories. The AP's Dave Ferry has more details for us. And Dave tips off with the Hawks spreading their wings and beating the Milwaukee Bucks.
Lou Williams sank 4 3-pointers in the final 7 minutes, including a jumper that gave the Hawks their first lead in the second half of a 111-104 win over the Bucks.
We were making shots, playing with a lot of confidence, giving ourselves an opportunity to win the game. In the last 4 minutes, thought we did a great job of getting stops at the same time as scoring the basketball and just putting ourselves in a good position.
Bogdan Bogdanovich delivered 32 points, and Kevin Huerter scored 20 in Atlanta's 11th win in 14 games. Williams had 15 points while leading Atlanta's late long-distance attack. The Hawks overwhelmed the Bucks with a barrage of 8 3-pointers in the final 7 minutes. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 31 points and 14 rebounds for the Bucks. Kevin Durant poured in 33 points on 12 of 21 shooting and 28 minutes off the bench, helping the Nets earn a 128-119 win over the Suns. Durant missed Brooklyn's previous 3 games after bruising his left thigh early in a loss to Miami last Sunday.
It's like riding a bike. You get your footing right, and you just get your rhythm going, and I think my teammates did a great job of looking for me all game.
Kyrie Irving paced Brooklyn with 34 points, and Blake Griffin added 15 as the Nets moved 1.5 games ahead of the 76ers. Devin Booker scored 36 points, and DeAndre Ayton added 20 with 13 rebounds for the Suns, who were tied for second with the Clippers in the West and 2 games behind the Jazz. The Hornets had 4 players score at least 20 points in a 125-104 dismantling of the Celtics. Devontae Graham had 24 points and 9 assists.
Whether I'm making shots or not, it doesn't mean I played bad or whatever the case may be. So you just got to do all the little things to help the team win.
P.J. Washington chipped in with 22 points and 12 rebounds, helping Charlotte pull within 1.5 games of Boston for the 6th seed in the East. Terry Rozier had 21 points and 11 assists, and Miles Bridges stayed hot with 20 points. The Hornets came in hitting 10 of their first 12 shots, including 6 of 7 from 3-point range to build a 26-12 lead. Kemba Walker and Jaylen Brown had 20 points for the Celtics, who shot just 39%. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Here in Washington, my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 119-110 for their 8th consecutive victory. Bradley Beal scored a game-high 33 points for the Wizards, who equaled their longest winning streak since 2001, when a player by the name of Michael Jordan was on the roster. Finally, in tennis, Spanish star Rafael Nadal won his first title of the year on home soil, a record 12th Barcelona Open trophy. It wasn't easy, though. Rafa squandered a couple of match points and then saved one on his way to beating the Greek Stefanos Tsitsipas in 3 sets. The final score from Barcelona, 6-4, 6-7, and 7-5. The match lasted 3 hours and 38 minutes, making it the longest best-of-3-sets ATP final since that time stats started being tracked in 1991. That wraps up the April 26th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.